I'll tell you what, are you ready for church today? Amen. Well, it's so good to see you today on this Sunday morning. Amen. It's good to see visitors with us. We welcome you. For those of you that are visiting for the first time, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman, and we welcome you here to Family Church. We just are so glad that you could be with us. We're honored to have you here. Amen. Please know that, you know, we want to teach you all about God's Word, His divine plan that He has for your life. The Bible says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Amen. Amen. God's got good things in store for you, and we want to help you find that already blessed plan that God has for you. You know, so many people, what they're doing, they're saying, God, this is what I want to do, now bless it. When God's saying back to us, listen, my plan is already blessed. You know, the blessing isn't the variable that we're seeking. You know what I mean? People are like, okay, you know, this is what I want to do. Now, if I could just get God to bless it, God's not going to bless what you thought of. He's going to bless what He thought of. It's not your plans that He blesses. It's His plans that He blesses. And so here at Family Church, our goal is to simply promote God's plan, and then we all have a simple choice whether we're going to follow it or not, right? Amen. So it's just so good to see new faces with us all the time. Glory to God. We're honored to have you here. Again, my name is Pastor Tim Stone. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor, and we just want to serve you. We want to feed you God's Word and watch your life get blessed. Amen. Amen. You ready for the Word of God here today? Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to call this message today, How to Follow Peace. How to Follow Peace. Amen. And over the last several weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages of how to be led by the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we've seen this, that too many of God's people have become outward-minded when they should be inward-minded. You know, and what I mean by that is there's a lot of folks that, you know, they look at the natural world and they say, well, this happened over here, or this war happened, or this tragedy, or, you know, people starving, accidents happening. They think, well, God had a sovereign purpose. God was up to those things. God is not the author of those things. God doesn't lead by tragedy. He doesn't lead by accidents. He doesn't lead by sickness and disease. He doesn't lead by those things. And we're going to see that God leads by peace. Amen. Amen. And it's so important that so many times God's people, they're looking out here into the natural realm. They're looking out here into the world we see and trying to use the world we see as a representative for God. But how many of you know that this world that we see is a very poor representation of what God wants to do and say? And when I say that, I'm not talking about creation. Of course, we look at the oceans and the mountains and we say, wow, God's mighty. And we look up into the stars and the Bible says that the heavens declare His power. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the actions of people and the things that go on in this world. And there's a lot of, you know, heartbreak and tragedies and a lot of, you know, tough things. And people, you know, automatically they prescribe those things to God. Well, God isn't the author of those things. You know, we have to understand that this world is a place of, you know, it's a fallen place. We have to understand that the devil has authority in this realm and that there's people that disobey God in this realm. There's a lot of other influences going on out here. So we have to be very careful not to look at circumstances and try to say, okay, this is happening, therefore it must be the will of God. You know, we're not an insurance binder. You know what I mean? Where they have the axe of God, a tree falls on a house and crushes the home, or, you know, an accident, they call it an act of God. Well, no, they say that because they don't know God, because those things are not acts of God. When God acts, He acts in peace, He acts in power, He acts in goodness, He acts with joy. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's not be so outward-minded. Let's remember where God speaks and leads us. He leads us from the inside out. Glory to God. Let's go over there to Colossians chapter 3. Today I want to call this How to Follow Peace, because peace is the flow of God. Amen. Peace is the rules. You could say it this way. Peace is God's rule in speaking. Praise the Lord. Let's go on over there. Where did I tell you to go? Colossians chapter 3. It used to be in my Bible. And we're going to look at verse 15. Hallelujah. It says this in the King James Bible. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Yes. Let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts. Where is God going to rule from? In your hearts. He's going to rule with what? Peace. You know, it says that God rules in our hearts with peace, right? God doesn't lead with troubles in the outside world. God leads the exact opposite way. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, you know, to the which also you are called into one body and be thankful. But I want to focus on the first half of that verse. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Can we bring this verse up in the Amplified Bible? I love how the Amplified Bible talks up this verse. It says, and let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever faced a question before? Only like 10 of you. The rest of you have it all figured out. I am amazed, you know, I'm out of a job. Because you know, you have it all figured out. You never face questions. You never face decisions in this life. You never feel that you need a leading from God, that you never feel like, you know, you have decisions to make and to follow the plan that God has for your life. Well, it must be nice to be you today. No, how many of you know that we make a lot of decisions all the time? How many of you know there's a lot of personal aspects in life that we don't have a scripture for? Meaning, you know, you buy a house or you get married. You know, there's no scripture telling you who to marry. There's no scripture that tells you where to invest your money. There's no scripture that tells you what college to go to, right? There's no scripture that tells you these personal decisions in life. So God has set up an awesome thing. He has designed your spiritual nature to be a receiver of peace and a discerner of peace and an interpreter of peace. And God will lead by inward peace, not outward turmoil. The way that people think God is leading is actually the opposite way to how He is leading. People think that God speaks to the world when a hurricane goes in and wipes out a city. That is not God speaking to the world. We have to know and understand that. Those are outward turmoil. God speaks on the inward witness. Last week we talked about how God's voice speaks to our conscience, right? How He speaks on the inside. If you were here this past Wednesday, we might get into some of the things we talked about Wednesday, because we need to emphasize where God is ruling, right? Where His authority is, where He's speaking, where His voice is. And I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. So many times, you know, we forget that there's many voices traveling through this room. At any given time, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of radio waves that are traveling through this room right now. Many hundreds of voices that are speaking in here, but we're not hearing them right now because we're not tuned into the right frequency. Those voices are speaking, but we're not hearing them because we don't have a radio receiver right now and we're not tuned in. But if you tuned it in just right, you would hear the voice according to that frequency. In the same way, God is constantly speaking to us. He is constantly leading us and guiding us. He's a good father. A good father just isn't silent to their kids. No, a good father says, no, son, go this way. No, son, no, that's not right. Go this way. No, that's not a good decision. You know, God is always, always, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Ordered of the Lord. The Bible says over there in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. God has already prepared things ahead of us. See, God lives out there. He lives forward. He lives ahead. He speaks with peace in here. But most of the world, they're looking back to their past, or they're looking out here in the outward circumstances trying to discern God. This natural realm is a poor representative for what God is going to do and wants to do. Amen? Amen. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah, it's a very poor representation. Well, why is that? Because the Bible says over there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Yeah. Right? What does 2 Corinthians 4:4 say? It says that Satan is the god, lowercase g, the god of this world system.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Jesus said over there about the devil, Jesus said in John 14:30, he says, the prince of the world cometh, but has no part in me. Wow, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world system. Paul's called him the god of this world system. Paul also said he's the prince of the power of the air. So why would we look for solutions? Why would we look for answers? Why would we look for leadings out in a realm where the devil can manipulate? Yeah. Yeah. Why would we look to a realm where Satan's messing up? Where Satan is starving people? Where Satan is making people sick? Where Satan is promoting war and hurt and bloodshed? Why would we look to this natural realm and the circumstances out here when Satan is manipulating those things? God says, don't look out there. Don't look out there for the world and trials and troubles to tell you what your next step is. Look on the inside, glory to God, where the peace of God can rule and reign and act like an umpire.
That's right.
What does an umpire do? He makes calls, right?
Yeah.
He tells us what a strike and a ball is. He tells us who's safe. He tells us who's out.
That's right.
Yeah. If you'll follow the umpire on the inside, he'll tell you certain things. He'll say, no, that's a strike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A strike means a strike against you. Don't touch it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So many people, they're waiting to hear an audible voice from heaven. God isn't always going to give you an audible voice. He's not going to speak to you by words or necessarily a sentence or a phrase. He's going to lead you on the inside through peace or no peace. You know? So many people, though, oh, I lost my job, therefore I got to move away. I've had people tell me that. Well, I lost my job. I got to move to Arizona, or I got to move to North Carolina. I got to go somewhere where there's work, but I just don't feel right about it, Pastor Tim, but I got to go. Because that's where the trouble's leading me. God doesn't lead you by outward trouble. You know? Constantly the devil is going to try to put troubles in your life to get you to change your mind what you believe. How many of you know the Bible says over there in Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Two things that God does, he forgives sins and heals your body. But all of a sudden symptoms come on your body or something comes against you, all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe that healing business isn't true. Maybe God really isn't a healer. Maybe it was God's will to put, God can't have a will to heal and make sick. He's either a healer or not. The Bible says he is the healer. It says his words produce health in your flesh. Right? Amen. But obviously trials and troubles try to come against you and to try to get you to second guess what the Lord said in the first place. You know? Or maybe you hear the word of God on tithing and you start tithing. Next thing you know, you go through a financial trouble. You say, well, maybe this tithing business doesn't work. No, actually, it's working just fine. Because Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he says, Satan comes for the word's sake.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we need to be inward minded.
Yes.
When it comes time for a decision, when it comes time to get a new job, when it comes time to get married or make an investment or buy a home, purchase a car, or whatever it is that you need to decide in your life, you know, deciding who's the right friendships to have, who's the right relationship to pursue, all these things, all the time, look on the inside. And logic and reason mean nothing. Logic and reason is the enemy of being led by God. But I feel like I'm supposed to do this, but that just doesn't make more sense. That doesn't make any sense because, you know, if I do that, I'll make less money. I'll have a harder time paying my bills. No, you're thinking about the outward influence. Listen on the inside. Hallelujah. God leads with peace on the inside. He does not lead by outward trouble. He's not speaking to you through heartache. He's not speaking to you. You know, this is the rule that governs all of heaven. If it's not peace, it's not God.
Good. Very good.
God cannot tell you something that violates peace. He can't. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The rule of God is peace. Yeah. Oh, Pastor Tim, I got to do this, but I have no peace about it. Then it's not God telling you to do it. I have a check in my heart. Something, you know, I really just, something on the inside is scratching at me. It's almost just a gut sense. I'm not supposed to go. I'm not supposed to do that. But I feel like I have to. I'm committed or whatever. I made up the decision in my mind already. No, no, no. I'll tell you what. You can change your mind. You can't change the rule of peace.
That's right. Very good.
Amen. Hallelujah. If it isn't peace, it isn't God. People say, well, God made me sick. No, God doesn't do that. Because peace is the rule from heaven.
That's right.
And sickness does not produce peace in anybody. Well, God, you know, God's just given me all these thoughts. It's making me anxious and full of depression and stuff. God can't lead with discouragement. He doesn't lead through anxiety and depression. It's not God. You got to throw that out. If it's not peace, it's not God. So many times I've heard people, I have had counseling appointments over and over where people said, you know, Pastor, I never had peace doing that, but I did that anyway. And everything I'm counseling them on is just simply the effects, the thorns of the seed they sowed. When you go against peace, when you make decisions against the peace that is ruling in your heart, right? It's like you are kicking the umpire out. You are making up your own rules. And know what that means? Once the umpire leaves the game, doesn't matter how much they keep playing, the game doesn't count. You know what I mean? If all the players, let's say a Major League Baseball, two teams get together and they decide, you know what, we're tired of this umpire. We're tired of him telling us what to do. Get out. You know, and they rush him and they push him off the field. They say, all right, let's play this game without the umpire. It doesn't matter how many home runs somebody hits now because it's unofficial. You know? And now chaos is going to break out because everyone's going to agree and disagree of what's right and wrong. Listen, there is only one opinion on that field that matters. It's the umpires. Does that make sense? You know, and a lot of people, they've kicked the umpire out and everything they're doing doesn't count. Their stats, their works, their, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you give if you're violating your heart somewhere else. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, I go to church and I'm a good Christian. I even pray, but you're violating peace. You're constantly belittling your husband or your wife. You're violating peace somewhere else in the home. Everything else. You've kicked the umpire out. Yeah. And if there's no umpire, it doesn't count. You understand what I'm saying? God rules with peace. Every time I'm in the midst of a decision, I instantly go in here.
Yeah, sure.
Is the peace of God there? It's like this. The way the picture I get in my heart, it's like a traffic signal. Yeah. I go in my heart and I listen for a green light or a red light. Yeah. It's like on the inside. I got a green light on the inside.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't, you know, just forsake prayer. You're going to have to pray, fellowship with God, get into the Word. First off, you know, so many times there are people, they come up to me and they say, Pastor Tim, you taught about being ruled by peace and having a green light or a red light or just a check in my heart. I have neither. And I say, okay, what's the decision you're making? Well, I'm thinking about leaving my spouse because I like someone over here. I said, no wonder why you don't have a green light or a red light, because what you're doing is you're violating the written word of God. God isn't going to lead you on the inside with something that he already wrote in black and white in his book. You know what I mean? I'm trying to decide whether or not I should tithe. I don't have a green light or red light on it. I'm deciding whether or not I should forgive somebody. I'm deciding whether or not I should go to church. I don't have a red light or a green light. I'm trying to decide whether I should do those things. Well, you might not get a red light or green light on those things because they're already plainly written for us in the Word. Okay? I'm talking about those decisions that are personal to your life that go beyond the scope of the written word. Amen? Peace. Should we go on this vacation? Should I go on this trip? You know, I've had several invitations to go to different parts of the world and preach. And everyone, nope, nope. On the inside, nope, 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 nope. And then back in June, got an invitation to preach down in Brazil. And I thought for sure it'd just be another nope from God. But I got into my heart, I got into prayer, I started listening on the inside. Listen, naturally speaking, I did not want to go. Before I knew Jesus, I was an adventurer. I was all over the place. I wanted to see the world and all that, and I did go a lot of places. And then once I got saved and became a pastor, I just wanted to be home.
Yeah.
And to think of traveling to South America and being away from my family for a week and going to a culture that I'm unfamiliar with and stuff, naturally speaking, I just didn't want to go. I even told the person, I said, you know, don't count on it. I don't foresee that this is God's plan. I'm not really interested. And I got into prayer, and then God started speaking to me. And he started putting peace in my heart. Yes, go. Green light. That's the move. That's the decision. Go.
Right.
You know? And there was every natural reason in the world. I didn't have a passport. I didn't have a visa. I didn't have any way to get down to Brazil. And they wanted me there Friday. And this was Monday. Within 24 hours, I had a passport and a visa. Folks, that does not happen with our federal government. They don't do anything right in 24 hours. Let me rephrase that. They don't do things quickly, is what the point I'm trying to make. You know, to get that many people within the government to agree on something that fast. It was Monday when I was invited. I thought, this is just too quick. This isn't God. This is pressure, all this stuff. And I just started sensing on the inside to pray about it. So I started praying about it. And then, bling, the green light went off on the inside. The peace of God started flooding me. Did I hear a voice? Did I hear this booming voice from heaven? Go to Brazil and preach to my people. No, not at all. I had peace flooded my heart. You know, the building that you're sitting in right now, of course, this property used to be a wooded lot, and it was kind of, you know, swampy and over here. And I used to, when I started pastoring this church, I was walking this property. From the moment I became pastor, actually from before I was pastor, I started getting pictures of my heart of a large church facility on this property. And so I started walking this property at night, just kind of enjoying myself and praising God. And just I started saying, thank you, Lord, for a $2 million building. Thank you, Lord, for a $2 million building right here. And it wasn't because I was infatuated with $2 million. It's because I knew that it would take at least that to build the property that I saw on my heart. And it wasn't $2 million, it was $3 million. That's where I was then, and that's where my faith was then. And as I walked that property, I would just speak, and I had peace. And then when, you know, years later, when it came time to start digging up the dirt and to start excavating and putting in footers and get building this property, I did not have a big booming voice from heaven.
Right.
God didn't speak to me in the thunderbolt, you know. I just prayed, God, is now the time to build? Is now the time that you want us to move out? Naturally speaking, we didn't have the money. We had just enough money to move the dirt.
Yeah.
That's all we had, was enough money to move the dirt. I was 29 years old, 30 years old, very young in ministry. You know, our church at the time was about 150 people. Where was I going to naturally get my hands on a couple $1 million, you know, to build a church facility? I started visiting the banks here in Jamestown. I walk in and I'd put on my suit and I bought this nice fancy briefcase to try to look like I was somebody. Just trying to show up and look professional, like, hey, I tell you what, you don't walk into a bank asking for a couple of $1 million looking like a slob. You know, I dressed the best I knew how. I went in there, and of course, the first couple banks, they just laughed at me. You went, what? For what? And this was right in 2008 when the whole lending practices, all the housing bubble crashed and all that. That was the height of the tailspin of our economic woes here a few years ago here in America. Remember that? And so I was walking in, you know, wet behind my ears, asking for a couple of $1 million. And the first, you know, they kind of laughed at me. They were respectful, but like, no, thank you. We're not interested. Well, then I went into another local bank here. And I sat down, and the gentleman just said, oh, yeah, tell me about it. Tell me, what's your heart? What's your vision? What, you know, what is it that you want to do? And what would you see? And how many seats? And, you know, he just wanted every detail. And I sat there for a couple of hours saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to build. This is what we're having. This is the growth we've seen. You know, and the vision started to just speak to him.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, long story short, I mean, he ended up, you know, talking to us, getting some financial information, and we ended up borrowing that money. Of course, this building was a $3 million project. We've already paid off half of it. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. But here this was a major decision. And you think a major decision like that, surely you saw the hand writing on the wall. Surely you saw into the Spirit and you saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father saying, borrow the money, my son. No, I didn't have an angel visit me. The peace of God ruled in my heart. God, is it time to build? Is it time to go? Is it time to go that direction? And the peace flooded me. I had a green light on the inside. People say that they're concerned about big decisions, that they need a big, grandiose sign from God. You do not need some big outward sign to do great things in this life. You need to let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Yes.
Act as an umpire. What's peace telling you today?
That's right.
You know, I've had peace lead me even in minor things about what grocery store to go to that day. My wife was just talking about that. You know, how sometimes, you know, we just get carnal in our decisions. We just have a routine. I mean, there's several times when God said, no, I want you to go here today. And I'll end up running into somebody or witnessing to somebody, you know. Many of you attended our Friday night Veterans Appreciation Service. During the music, Senator Kathy Young, she was off to the side, and I was standing there with her, and she just turned over and she said, Pastor Tim, I've never seen an event like this. There's just something so special about what's going on in here tonight. Where did that idea come from? How did you get that idea? And I said, oh boy, here we go. I said, Senator, I said, 2 years ago, I was on my face praying before God, and that flooded into my heart.
Yes.
All of a sudden, I saw a service honoring our veterans. You know, I even heard the name of the service, Veterans Appreciation Service.
Yes.
You know, and I started seeing, you know, us handing out, you know, plaques and awards and things and just being a blessing to our veterans. That's always been something that's near and dear to my heart. And what was it? Was it some big booming voice from heaven? Did the voice of God speak out of a cloud? No, he flooded my heart with peace.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He spoke on the inside. He didn't have to, get me in a car accident to get my attention. God doesn't do that. He doesn't. Amen. We hear the voice of God through peace. Praise the Lord. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Are you getting a hold of this? Romans 8. Glory to God. How to follow peace. Some of you are on the brink of major decisions. Some of you up in your mind are like, I don't know, should I or shouldn't I? You're up here. He doesn't rule with the peace of God in your head. He rules with the peace of God in your heart. Get out of this thing. Well, should I or shouldn't I? But what if this happens? Or what if this goes right? What if it goes wrong? Listen, get out of here. Don't be so mentally predisposed, right? Whatever that means. Just don't be so mental, you know, focused on the mental arena. Go to Romans chapter 8 and go to verse 16. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm reading out of the Old King James, and many of you have newer translations of the Bible. The Bible says in verse 16, the Spirit itself, that's the King James, the better translation would say the Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit is not an it, he's a him. Right? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice, what does the Spirit of God do? Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The first thing God's going to start talking to you about on the inside is whether or not you're born again. Whether or not you have the nature of God dwelling in you. People don't go to heaven or hell because they were bad or good. God doesn't make bad people good. He makes dead people alive. Do you understand what I mean? People don't go to hell because they've done too much wrong. People go to hell because they have the wrong nature. That they, like all of us, we were born with sin. And that every man has sinned against God and falls short of the glory of God, right? Yeah. But see, that's a nature that is incompatible with God. You can't have a fallen nature and go to be with God in heaven. You can't do that. So what God did is he sent Jesus, his son, when we couldn't obtain that nature. Have you ever obtained perfection? Who's perfect in here? Let's see your hands. Do we have to stone any liars today? Some of you are like, oh my goodness. It's a joke. It's called humor. Try it sometime. If you don't have a sense of humor yet, get one quick. Go buy one today. They probably have one at Walmart. I think they roll back the price every once in a while on a good sense of humor. So go find one that's on sale. Get one quick. Because you're not going to make it through this life if you don't have one. Some of you, don't come into church so pickle-faced. So sad. You know, would the clouds get you down? You know, I'll tell you what kind of life is it if all it takes is a bad weather day? Well, I don't like this weather. I'm not having a good day. Oh, boo-hoo. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, you better grow a thicker skin than that. My goodness. Yeah. You know. Anyway. The Spirit of God speaks to us that we're the children of God. And people don't go to hell because they're too bad. They go to hell because they never received the nature. See, we couldn't get there. We couldn't live the life that we need to be perfect. We're not perfect like God. And so to obtain that nature, God sent Jesus. And Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. He lived the perfect life that we could never live. And then he went to the cross, and he was crucified like a criminal. All the world's guilt and shame was placed on him, right? All of our guilt was placed on him. He hung there like a criminal, was murdered like a criminal, right? He was killed. He was judged like a criminal. So he became the guilty ones so that we could receive his nature, and his nature is innocence. Jesus has always been and always will be innocent before God. Jesus has never committed a crime against God. He's never sinned against God. He has a perfect nature. So what God did said, here, the only time I will make my son guilty is when he takes your guilt.
Yeah, that's right.
He takes your guilt so that you can take his innocence.
Yes.
And people say, well, I've been good enough. Well, no, you haven't. You never have measured up. Just go before the throne of God someday and see where that gets you. God, I've been a good person. Great. I've heard that 1,000 times, God would say. Heard that 1,000,000 times. Heard that 1,000,000,000 times. There's no such thing as being good enough. The question isn't going to be, see, some people, they think that when they stand before the judgment seat of God, that there's going to be a scale. They think that one side will be, you know, their good works, and the other side will be their evil deeds. And hopefully, you know, the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, and then they'll get in. Let me tell you what, there is no scale. You show up there, it isn't good versus bad, it's alive versus dead. You'll stand before God and he'll say, did you receive the nature of my son? Did you ask Jesus to be your Savior? And there'll be people there that'll say, I took communion. God's going to say, great, but that doesn't give you my nature. But I did this and I was good this, I gave money, I went to church. God's going to say, great, those things are good, but they don't give you the new nature. Yeah. The question is going to be, did you receive Jesus or not? Did you invite him into your heart? There's not enough communions to take. There's not enough incense to light. There's not enough ritual. There's not enough religion in the world to get you saved. The Bible says, for if man believes in his heart and speaks with his mouth that Jesus is their Lord, that's what produces salvation.
Amen.
So notice this, that the Spirit of God is bearing witness. He's speaking to every heart He's speaking to everyone that they've received Jesus, and he speaks to those that are his children. And how does he do it? He bears witness with your spirit. Green light, red light.
That's right.
Bears witness. The inward witness on the inside, ruling from your heart. Right? Don't be so cognizant of everything in the world that's going on. You do not make decisions based on what you see. You make decisions based on the peace of God, the Spirit bearing witness,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
And if you look up there to verse 14, Romans 8, 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
Amen.
Glory to God. For as many as are led, for as many that actually believe in the inward witness.
Yeah, they
enter into this awesome relationship of being a son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you some things that we talked about on Wednesday night, because I believed Wednesday night when I was preaching that much of what I was speaking was for Sunday morning as well. And I'm going to just obey the leading of God. Amen. Share these things with you. Go with me to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. How does God rule? With peace.
Yeah, that's right.
But Pastor, I'm troubled. Oh, that's not the rule of heaven. I'm troubled. Well, then you're not in faith.
That's right.
What I mean by that is, you know, like Dr. Dufresne said over and over and over again, a troubled heart is an unbelieving heart.
That's right.
You cannot hear God's voice properly if you're always troubled.
Right.
Oh, but I'm worried about the economy, and I'm worried about our mortgage. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Then you are putting a wet blanket, you know, over you. You know, you are hindering the Spirit of God from speaking to you. You won't hear the voice of God in an environment of panic.
Right.
Just trying. This is real simple stuff. Real simple. It'll save your life. It'll save your life. You know, do you think I just woke up one day and said, you know what? I want to just go be a pastor. I can tell you for sure that is not what I said. That is not what I felt. Of course, now I enjoy it. I love being, you know, in what God called me to do. But listen, I did not wake up someday and say, I think I'm going to go to seminary somewhere and be a pastor. It wasn't like that at all. Actually, the same way God, you know, leads us to do other things, he led me. I was praying, and God spoke to me. Actually, two different times. One was July 31st, 2003. I was studying Psalm 103. And when it says God will satisfy your mouth with good things, that verse literally jumped off the page, and God spoke to my heart and said, you'll be in a pulpit minister. And I thought, well, okay, let's get going, you know. All right, show me the pulpit. Yeah, and then he showed me a youth room with the cleaning tables and vacuuming floors. That's where you start, you know. And then in 2005, I was praying in September. It was September the 8th, 2005. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. I was a school teacher at the time and said, this is your last year as a school teacher. Where was it? It was inside here.
Yes.
It wasn't out there making, you know, here's the calculated steps. This is my goal and my plan. God bless it, please. No, we don't do that. We don't pick our own plan and ask God to bless it. Go with me to John chapter 14. Hallelujah, the peace of God, acting like an umpire, continually settling all decisions.
Yes.
Settling all decisions. Where do you get settled? In here.
Yes.
Meaning that God works in an environment that's settled.
Oh, I love it. That's good.
Some of you have issues going on in your life, and you think, man, I got a physical problem, I have symptoms in my body, or I have financial issues, I have this. And a lot of times, it's not those issues that you have, it's that you have no peace in your home.
Come on, good word, come on.
Yeah. Because peace is what produces the blessing of God.
Yeah.
Healing and prosperity, and those things are all peripheral blessings of the covenant that we're in.
Yeah.
Right? And those things are all hindered. They're blocked when there's not peace. Because peace is the rule. Kids grow up, they get rebellious. Why? Because I grew up in a home where there's no peace. There was always TV, and there was always action and fighting movies and boom explosions and violent video games and all that. And then they wonder why they go and rebel. Because they grew up in an environment where there's no peace. Mom and dad shouting and yelling, slamming cupboards, all that stuff. What does it lead to? It leads to rebellious kids. Because the blessing of God is your children following His plan. Yeah, it's a blessing of God, but that's not going to happen if there's always strife in the home. The Bible says forever there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. James chapter 3, right around the 16th verse or so. Right? It says that where there's strife, there's every evil work. People wonder how they invited demons in their home. They had a fight.
That's it.
People wonder how they invited demonic influence in their house. They wouldn't forgive. They wondered how Satan got a hold and destroyed their family. Yeah, they wouldn't forgive. They wouldn't be gracious. They wouldn't be merciful. They wouldn't let it go. Somewhere he got in somewhere. Some of you looking like you're mad at me. I don't particularly care. I care for you. But if people get mad about what I preach, if it's the Bible, now if I preach some dumb opinion of my own, well then you can have a right to be mad. But if I'm preaching the Word, the Bible says over there in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they that love God's Word, and nothing shall offend them. If you're offended, you don't love God's Word. That was put in there for pastors and preachers so that when we needed to, we could use it against everybody. John chapter 14. Jesus says this in verse 17. Jesus says, even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be what? In you. Where's the Holy Spirit? In you. Is He out here, in the circumstances? No. Is the Holy Spirit out there in the economy? Is He out there in the layoffs and the job closings? Is He in the foreclosure? Is He in the symptoms of your body? No. Where is He? He's in you. Glory to God. But now Jesus tells us something very interesting here. He says the Spirit of truth. The word truth there in the Greek is the word reality.
Yes.
Reality. He says the Holy Spirit of reality, meaning that the Holy Spirit is always trying to move us into the reality of God.
Yes.
How many of you know that this reality isn't all there is?
That's right.
Aren't you glad?
Yes. Yes.
How do we know? Remember Abraham? Remember he was 75 years old? And God said, I'm going to make you a dad. And Abraham said, well, that's funny. I've never been a dad of anything. I'm 75, and that isn't exactly baby years. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm trying to discreetly say. And he wasn't exactly in his childbearing prime. Neither was his wife. Okay? But God said, yeah, but I've made you the father of nations. I've made you the father of nations. And He said, you will have a son.
Yes.
It'll be the child of promise. And remember, Sarah, his wife, even laughed.
Yeah.
And he was 75 when the promise was made. Abraham was 100 years old. And a child still hadn't showed up. And Sarah was 90. And you thought that they were in childbearing age when they were 75 and 65. But God still said, no, there's another reality for you.
That's it.
And Sarah laughed. She said, yeah, okay. So you really think I'm going to have a baby? And God said, yeah, I told you, you will.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And Sarah kind of had the idea that I'm too old. I'm too this. You know, a lot of people have that same mentality. I'm too old. I'm too broke. You know, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I'm too this. Every excuse in the world why God can't produce His reality in your life. Yeah. I almost said that they have a number two problem. But I thought, my goodness, you don't say that from the pulpit. And then I just said it. But when I thought of it originally, I was like, that sounds innocent. And then I thought, wait a minute, people could take that the wrong way. Get a sense of humor, somebody. Where's the Holy Ghost? He's in you. Notice this. It says the spirit of reality, the other reality that God has for you. Maybe right now you don't see yourself as blessed like you should. You don't see yourself as prosperous. You don't see yourself as healthy. You don't see yourself. Because the reason why is that you're seeing with these natural eyes. See, the Holy Ghost is here to bring us into a better reality that God has established for us. Glory to God. And the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive, why can't the world receive the Holy Ghost? Because it can't see Him. The world has become addicted to sight. I won't believe it until I see it. And then God says, then you won't receive the Holy Ghost. Because He doesn't work in the seen realm. He works on the unseen realm in the inside, where your natural eyes can't look to, right? And the world can't see Him, and the world can't know Him, but you'll know Him because He dwells with you and He'll be in you. People always go, God, I hear songs all the time. God, I'll walk by your side. God is at my side. No, He's not. That is a bunch of doubt and unbelief. God is not on your side. God's not on my, He's not next to me. He's in me. Glory to God. It's doubt and unbelief to say, I'm walking next to God. Well, that's too bad. He could be walking in you. Look it down to verse 20. Jesus says, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I, where?
In you.
Where's the Holy Ghost? In you. Where's Jesus Himself? In you. Where's the voice of God? In you. Where's the peace of God? In you. Hallelujah. God's ruling from the inside out. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we flip over to Luke? Go to Luke chapter 17. Just kind of hitting these things again. Say, well, I believed He was in me, and I believed that He was speaking to me, but then all of a sudden trouble came. Well, what, did you let the trouble change your mind? You believed in healing until you had a symptom in your body? You believed God wanted to prosper you until you had an unexpected expense? Luke 17, in verse 20. Now look at this. I'll wait till I hear pages stop turning. Luke 17, 20. Praise God. It says, when He, meaning Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. But God, I want to see it. But God, I want to see my new home. I want to see my new job. I got to see it first, God. Yeah, you're like Thomas. John chapter 20, remember? Thomas was the only one that wasn't there. Jesus showed up after His resurrection and said, behold, I'm the life and all that stuff. And he witnessed to the disciples, and all of them were there except for Thomas. And then Thomas showed back up after Jesus left, and Thomas said, I'm not going to believe He's alive until I touch the prints of nails in His hands, put my fist in His side, until I see Him. And then Jesus showed back up again, and who's the first person that Jesus had to talk to? He said, hey, Thomas. He said, come here. Since you got to be so carnal, and because you got so addicted to sight, because you're so addicted and everything, here, come on. Because you're not going to be able to, believe until you see. So come on. Jesus was being facetious with him. Come on and put your finger in the nail holes and touch my side and see that I have a body and all that stuff. And Thomas repenting said, my Lord and my God. Yeah. See, you're either going to, you're going to believe what the Spirit of God is talking to you. You're either going to be an inward person or you're going to be like Thomas and you're going to be addicted to sight. I got to see my blessing before I believe it. I got to see my healing before I believe it. No, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You do not draw the power of God because you demand sight. God, I'll believe it when I see it. Then you won't. Because look at verse 21. Jesus says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you.
Yes.
All right, I know this is redundant, but I'm going to keep because I want to get it in you. Where's the Holy Ghost?
In you.
Where's Jesus himself?
In you.
Where's the Father God?
In you.
Where's the peace of God?
In you.
Where's the kingdom of God?
In you.
Over and over and over again. So why are you looking for solutions in a world that can only produce problems? You cannot get any solutions out of the natural world. God is not speaking to you by what happened to another Christian.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. He's not. You know? I've seen it. We've had a test with that around here lately. You know, of course, a few weeks ago, we lost a dear, precious man of God in Dr. Dufresne. And instantly, I saw people start questioning, well, man, if that could happen there, then obviously I'm not safe. And I started seeing people's faith get shaken. Listen, you don't judge or interpret God's will by what happened somewhere else. Yeah. You don't know all the variables. You don't know what's going on there. There's no help in just asking, why did it happen? Why? No. You just, listen, the promises of God are still the same to you.
Yes.
Amen. And trouble doesn't shake you away from what you believe. It shouldn't. Why? The kingdom of God is in you.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't let trouble try to shake you away from those things. Praise the Lord. Go over to Matthew chapter 16. We'll close here. Hallelujah. He's in you. His kingdom is in you. His peace is in you. His Holy Spirit is in you. He's talking to you. He's ruling with peace. He's not ruling with trouble. He's not causing calamities to try to get you to change your mind. God will speak to you with peace. He speaks to you with goodness. He speaks with an inward witness that we're the children of God. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for the inward witness.
Amen.
So grateful. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll start in verse 1. Now it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. God, show me a sign. God, if this is the right job, show me a sign. God, if this is the person I'm to marry, show me a sign. You ever heard anything like that before? Don't you think that that thinking almost prevails within Christianity today? God, show me a sign. God, if I'm to take that job, then let somebody on the hiring committee be wearing a red sweater. I've had people say stuff. God, if this is a house that we're to buy, then it'll be blue. Well, the siding might be blue, but the foundation could be crumbling. Don't be, you know. God, show me a sign. God, if I'm supposed to do that, then send somebody my way today and have them say this. You know, people do it. Seriously, how many of you have ever heard that kind of thing before? All right, we've heard that. And so now we see the Pharisees coming to Jesus with the same request. Give us a sign. If you're the Messiah, just give us a sign. Come on. What are they trying to do? They're trying to ask God to talk to their flesh. You do not get God to talk to your flesh. God, speak to me spiritually through my flesh. That's like saying, please conduct electricity through this rubber. You know what I mean? You know? Don't work. Yeah. And so now, look at this. Go down to verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Uh-oh. Wait, Jesus said that. The words in my Bible are red. Wait a minute, wait. That's the Hallmark fuzzy, warm great feeling side of being a Christian, right? God, show me a sign. If he gives me a sign, God, make me feel better. Show me a sign. Oh, and then Jesus steps up and said, yeah, wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Uh-oh. What does he say? He says, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Meaning that Jesus said, there's no sign I'm going to give to you except for the fact that I'm going to go into the ground for 3 days, just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He said, I'm going to come up 3 days later and I'll be alive. He said, that'll be enough of a sign for you. He said, the resurrection is all the sign you need. What's the sign? God, show me a sign that you're going to heal my body. He said, I did. I raised my son 2,000 years ago. God, show me a sign that you're going to pay the mortgage this month. I did. I raised my son from the grave 2,000 years ago. God, show me a sign that my children are going to come around and serve God. I did show you a sign 2,000 years ago. Show me a sign, God. He said, I did. I put my spirit on the inside of you. I put my peace on the inside of you. I did give you all the sign I'm ever going to give you. When will the resurrection be good enough for you? Well, I need healing in my body. The resurrection is good enough for you. I need salvation from my sin. The resurrection is good enough for you. I need help in my finances. The resurrection is good enough for you. I need life in my marriage. The resurrection is good enough for you. I need my relationship to be restored with my parents. The resurrection is good enough for you. I need to be delivered from the addictions that are in my body. The resurrection is good enough for you. I need to be free from depression, anxiety, and this discouragement that is pounding me. The resurrection is good enough for you. God is going to show no greater sign. He's not showing signs. He's showing peace on the inside. He's ruling in the kingdom of God in your heart from the inside out. Stop looking to the outward circumstances to tell you what to do. They can't. They will be manipulated by wicked people or the devil himself. Does this make sense to you? That's why I keep having you repeat it. Where's the Holy Ghost? In you. Where's the kingdom of God? In you. Where's the voice of God? In you. Where's the peace of God? In you. He said, let it settle in your heart. I'll tell you what, you are not going to get anywhere until you settle down. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, study to be quiet. Train yourself to be quiet. Yeah. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 14:10 that there are many voices in the world and there's none of them without significance. Yeah, there's so many voices in the world. There's radio, there's TV. There's movies, right? There's the voice of our employer. There's the people we work with. Of course, a good voice, our spouse, and the voice of our children. Those are good. And all these voices that we're surrounded with. And the problem in our society today is that people are bombarded with so many voices. They don't ever take time to filter out those voices for a while and get quiet. Just settle down. Go slow. Get rest. Yes. Amen? Amen. Did you get some help here today? Yes. Yep, teaching you the word. This will save your life. Yes. I guarantee you, I'm going to speak by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you this week, there's going to be many in here that you come across a relatively large decision in your life, and you'll stop, and you'll remember this message, and you'll go on the inside, and you'll get that red light or that green light. Yes. Some people say, well, Pastor, what if it's a yellow light? What if it's somewhere in between? A yellow light is just as good as a red light as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot of times, you know, what should people do when the light turns yellow? They're supposed to hit the brakes. Slow down. And that's what I always do. I never just hit the gas and get all 320 horses in my truck to get through that thing. I mean, I never have done that ever. I mean, I always hit the brakes because that's what wise and prudent people do. We're supposed to hit the brakes. So if you got a yellow light, that's as good as a red light. And you don't move until you have the green light on the inside, until the umpire is on the inside saying, safe.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, safe. So many times you go make a decision, the umpire is saying, that's an out. You know what I mean? No good. Umpire, inside. If you cast out the umpire, everything you do from there on won't count. All right? Father God, we love you and praise you today. We thank you for the word of God. We're taught.